No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Welcome, everyone. The bastards are back for this Friday edition of the podcast. We are brought to you in part by the Minute Media Podcast Network. Quick disclaimer, as always, for any first-time listeners, this is not a homer podcast. We call it how we see it. When the Red Sox are dominating, we will celebrate that. When they are getting destroyed, we will be critical and at times savagely blunt. If you are easily offended, press the stop button immediately. But for those who embrace it, let's get rolling. I am Terry Cushman, coming to you from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine. You can find me on Twitter at CushmanMLB. You can find the podcast account at Bastards_Boston. Coming off the bench tonight for this deep dives edition from the city of Providence, Rhode Island, Charlie Smith.
Hey, man. Happy to come out and support. This should be a fun episode. A new face, at least for me. So this will be fun.
Yeah. And speaking of which, coming off the bench as well, he is from Syracuse, New York. Mark Rollins. Mark, how are you?
Gentlemen, great to be back. Yes, Charlie, I'm looking forward to working with you. You seem like a fun guy based on our little pre-show chat there. So I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely. Same here, man. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is Mark's, I think, third time, and he's had a different co-host every time. So I guess we got to get him on here with Job, and he'll have run the full gauntlet of bastards hosts. But it's good to have Mark. So typically this would be the same as the midweek crew, but I had my snafu yesterday, which caused a major delay. If you want to know exactly what that is, it's in the intro of yesterday's show, so check that out, which was a good show, by the way. Lots of Jaron Duran talk and all that. So what we are going to do for this episode, and I guess you can call it the first official trade deadline primer episode that's, you know, specifically dedicated to that. We're going to go through a lot of topics. We're each going to pick just one candidate each that we would like the Red Sox to target. And then we'll talk about the rest of the division and what they might be targeting as every one of us tries to get a leg up on the other. So Mark, you're the guest, so let's put you in the leadoff spot tonight. Who's one guy you would like to see the Red Sox hone in on?
Yeah, a guy I've got in mind is a little bit of a homecoming. Last time he was in a Red Sox uniform, he couldn't throw a strike to save his life, was out of the game for a number of years. Daniel Bard. Red Sox need bullpen help like I need air to breathe. And Bard's been having a really good season in Colorado. Ever since he came back a couple years ago, he's had a really nice bounce back. Those yips are clearly gone. He still throws so hard. I was watching a Rockies game like a week ago and Bard came in. And I was like, this guy's still throwing 99 miles an hour. He was out of the game for a number of years. I know the name might cause some pause for Red Sox fans, but just give me anyone that we can put in the bullpen that I would feel a little safer than 90% of the guys that go out there every night. So I think Daniel Bard would be a great fit to come back to Boston.
Terry, I don't think I could ever disagree with you more when you said I like it, because I absolutely love it. I am so excited to hear that man's name. When he unfortunately kind of fell apart, and it was real disappointing because at one point I thought that Daniel Bard was the best hold guy in the eighth inning in baseball. Very few guys could have done what he did over a decade ago. This is back when, you know, I know, Mark, you're a younger guy. This is when you were really young. But Daniel Bard was an absolute stud out of the pen. And I think putting him into that spot where he was forced to become a starter, he wanted to become a starter, absolutely broke the man. It did not work. The project failed. He had a sub-2 ERA back in 2010, 2011. It was one of those years.
Because I think it was 11, yeah.
All right, so 2011. The following year, fell apart. Was a starter, converted starter. It did not. It completely fell apart. His ERA was over 5 or 6. It was just disgusting. And then he disappeared for 7 years. Like, just did not come to play anymore. When I heard his name being echoed in Colorado, it's a guy who you couldn't hate. It's a guy you could only support, and you had to cheer for him regardless of what team you were playing for or what team you were supporting. He is one of the only guys now, having had waited 7 years to come back in. I don't know any other pitcher in Major League Baseball currently that did not pitch for 7 years and came back and not only crushed his role, set the standard, because he, as you mentioned, Mark, one of the best closers in baseball. He's got 14 saves this year. I have him in my other fantasy league, so I know 14 is the correct number. His ERA is like around 2. He hasn't been perfect. He has blown a couple, but what a great Cinderella story. I mean, so fun to have him back. He's averaging over a strikeout per inning. He's won a couple games this year. I couldn't be more happy for him. And if he ends up donning a Red Sox uniform once more, even if it's just for another year before or 2 years before he retires, it'll be like Joe Kelly coming back to Boston. It would be magical. It'd be Disney at Fenway Park. I absolutely love that pick.
Everyone loves a good comeback story. And as you guys have pointed out, it's sentimental. It tugs on the heartstrings. I'd be skeptical. I'd be worried about some flashbacks, but as long as the haul that we're sending to Colorado isn't massive, I guess I would probably be for it. You go back to 2011, the collapse year. There were a number of reasons for that, but one of them was Daniel Bard in the month of September blew 3 holds in the eighth inning. And so that was certainly a big part of it. But you had guys like Beckett and Lackey apparently, being very unethical in the clubhouse. And so there were lots of reasons, but I wouldn't mind seeing it. And I think if we polled our Twitter followers, at least 50% of them would want the bullpen to be the number one area of interest. Go ahead, Charlie.
What's amazing about it is that Bard's making a little over $4 million this year. He's a free agent next year. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to have to give up, I mean,
minimal.
How much of a, exactly. It's a small package. So you get him at the deadline, you're taking up a couple million, depending on what kind of prospect back that Colorado requests or we give them, we're either sucking up all of that, or maybe it's just $1 million. Maybe it's a break even. You get a really nice prospect. We don't pay a dollar. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Whatever the trade-off is going to be, you can't go wrong by adding Bard. You have John Schreiber, who's doing great. You got Diekman. You got Strom. You had Bard in that mix. Forget about getting Matt Barnes back. You have Howe closing and potentially Sale coming back to the rotation and Whitlock coming back to the bullpen. Oh, my God. All of a sudden, this isn't a 500 ball club. This is something that could continue. It can carry on. You get Bard, you've answered your relief questions. Because I don't think that Schreiber, Strom are going to fall apart right now. I think Schreiber is going to continue to do what he's doing. I know Job was really, really high on him. He wanted to be the closer. I don't want him to be the closer. I want Hauk to continue to do what he's doing. Because when Hauk closes out games, I go to sleep really well at night. And I wake up and I see a dub next to the name of the Red Sox. It's really, really nice. When Bard's coming back, you have potential dual closers. Or Bard goes into the ninth inning, eighth inning. Schreiber does some more intense pitching, maybe in the sixth or seventh in a broken inning where runners are in scoring position. I don't know how Schreiber does in relation to letting inherited runners score. It can't possibly be worse than Sawamura. So I think adding Bard right now can only be a good thing. I don't know how anybody, any of our followers can say, I don't want him, he's too old. You'd be an idiot.
It's just the yips that concern me, but I would do it. I disagree, though. I don't think it would be a light package, though. I mean, you look at the Yankees trade of Chapman to the Cubs, and I know that was a little while ago, and it's a different world now, but, you know, the Yankees got Gleyber Torres in that and, you know, a couple other pieces. And so I think it would be a little bit. I mean, it would be at least probably a top 10 or 12 guy like we gave up for Schwarber last year, I think. So, so I like it, and it would make waves, and it would be a feel-good story. One final question on that before we get to Charlie's. Say, hypothetically, we get Daniel Bard.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Does he go to the eighth inning, or does he go to the ninth inning? Like,
he still goes to the eighth inning. Because I
feel like you put him in the ninth to start. I feel like he's doing such a good job in closing games in Colorado that you got to give him at least a chance to earn that closer's job. Tanner Houck, as great as it is to see him come out of the bullpen, I want nothing more than him in the rotation. He's right-handed Chris Sale. I think it makes so much sense for him to be a starter. I know he's doing a great job closing games, but it seems to me like he's never gotten the fair shake he deserves. He had a perfect game last year through five innings with like 58 pitches, and Cora was like, no. Like, it's just he never gets the fair shake to be a starter. Throw him in the rotation the entire year and see what he can do. I think he could be super valuable there.
I've been adamant about doing that. I've been saying that I want him in the rotation. I think I'm one of the only ones who's been saying it for a couple of years. The Red Sox, unfortunately, are known for giving long leashes to certain players and cutting some of them off way too early. And it's bitten us in the, you know what, I don't need to go there. Putting Bard back into the ninth right now, removing a system that's already working. If it is not broken, I do not want to fix it. Because right now we are winning games. We're playing 700 baseball over our last 30. Hold on. Let me look at it. 34 games. We're playing 735 baseball. And with all of that being said, after today, because the Yankees just won a couple moments ago, 7-6 off of a Judge RBI single in the ninth inning, with 25 wins and 9 losses, we have matched the New York Yankees over our last 34 games. We have gained no ground on the Yankees in 34, and we have lost less than 10 games. If it is not broken, do not fix it. The offense is starting to come together. We're getting some amazing production out of pieces that we didn't think we were expecting. Rob Reifsnyder, for example, didn't think he was going to hit a home run. He'd only had 6 career home runs before the season. 2 with the Yankees, 2 with... Oh, God, was it Tampa Bay? And I forget who the other team was.
The Angels, I think.
Maybe it was the Angels. Yeah. I can't remember. But this is a career, like, almost, you know, a la Lou Merlone. This is a guy who's never had crazy numbers, but he's better than Lou right now. This guy's incredible for what we thought we were getting. What a find. Fantastic. You know, Trevor Story's going yard on a more regular basis than the whole first month of the season. If Chris Sale comes back and he can't do it and he can't hack it, then I'm even more okay with how going into the starting rotation and keeping Sale into the, you know, in the bullpen. But I really, if we're making a push for Bard right now, I really want to see him assume a seventh, eighth spot role, because to have him jump over some of those other guys right now, I think could be a slap. And Tanner Houck might take it as a slap too, unless he automatically goes back to the rotation. That's just me.
I just feel like you don't want to mess with Bard's mindset. If that's what he's been programmed to do the last few years, that's really where I would put him. And he's tenured as far as the league. And I don't think Tanner Houck would put up a big fuss about it. I think he knows he's a critical guy and one that we have to, you know, to make the wild card and hopefully go deep in October. I think Houck is going to be a big part of that. And I'll also agree that with you guys, I wouldn't mind seeing him start again either. I absolutely wouldn't mind that. I was just wondering, and I just pulled the report up right now. I'm like, a lot of people want Whitlock to go back to the pen. And I was just thinking, with this 3-week stint on the injured list, that would be a good opportunity to probably move him back, because you got to stretch him out a little bit again to get him starting. And but it looks like that's the plan. He's going right back to the rotation per a report by The Athletic. So yeah. All right, Charlie, go ahead. Who's the one candidate you would like to see the Red Sox make a play for? Don't you dare say the one that I'm going to say.
So I'm not going to say the one that Terry's going to say, but I also didn't say anything before, and you didn't mention my guy. But since we're talking about sentimentality, I want to talk about someone that has been rumored. We've talked about him. He's a first baseman, outfielder, flex. And if you say something inappropriate, you know I'm going to yell at you through the mic. Trey Mancini. Oh. I don't know if anybody's going to say Mancini. Were you?
No. I've advocated for that over the winter. I was like, oh, I'd like to see it.
I really like Mancini, and here's why. Trey Mancini's making $7.5 million this year. He's a free agent next year. Guy is 30 years old. I'm not sure what it's going to take for Baltimore to keep him. I don't think he will end up playing his career in Baltimore. This is a guy who is originally from Florida. Loves hitting at Fenway Park. What do I mean by that? He's hitting, I believe, 360 career or 338 career at Fenway Park in 39 games, 5 homers, 30 runs knocked in. In games that he has played, 30 games or more, Boston is still the best stadium that he's performed at. Over Baltimore, granted, he's played his entire career there. Over Toronto, over New York, over Tampa. I would love to see someone's bat like that in the lineup. He brings character. He brings, I think, a little bit of flair. He can play both first base and he can play the outfield. I would love to see somebody like that come and play in Boston. Give this man a chance to win a ring. It's not going to happen as long as he's playing in Baltimore. I'm sorry, but this may be one of his only opportunities. Your peak years are 28 to 30. He's had a little bit of a slow season, only 7 bombs. He's hitting almost 290, which is just a shade under his career high, but I still think he's heating up now. He's going to get it done. Giving him an opportunity, making a trade for somebody like that, a corner outfielder, flex, who can also play first base, sign me up. I would love to get Mancini in here.
Mark, thoughts on Trey Mancini?
I like it. I really like Trey Mancini. Obviously, talk about a comeback story. And we talked about Daniel Bard, but what Trey Mancini went through and then came back, and to see him just play it all again after what he went through, it was amazing. I don't know if I love the fit, just because the Red Sox, because you said he's a free agent after next year, correct?
No, this is...
Oh, this year?
Yeah. This year he's a free agent. He's got the buyout for like $250,000 or $350,000, okay. Something like that.
As a rental, I like him better. I thought you said he was a free agent after next season. I'm just... There might be such a logjam at first base. And Trey Mancini at this point in his career really isn't much of an outfielder. You can throw him out there and he'll be okay, I guess. I don't know if I want him playing balls off the monster. I certainly don't want him in right field at Fenway Park because of how massive it is. So I don't know if I love him in the outfield. Then you've got the whole first base DH, what really could be just an, you know, you could have five guys wanting to play the same two positions going down the stretch. I love the player. I love the story. I don't know how much I love the fit.
I love the fit, to be honest with you, because first base and corner outfield, those are your areas of need, depending on how you feel about Bradley. And we're not, for the most part, outside of, I think, Andrew, a Jackie Bradley crew.
But, I will never slander JBJ.
Oh,
I won't do it.
He's one of those, not today, Charlie.
Not tomorrow.
Yeah. He's a JBJ guy. But I think it's a good fit because you can plug him into one of those areas. Ideally, I think left field over right for sure. But if he were being traded, it's probably not inconceivable that either Franchi or Dahlbeck would be a part of that trade. So you might kind of clear out the logjam a little bit. We mentioned on the last show that it's going to be quite some time before you see Tristan Casas at Fenway due to his injury. You know, he's got to fully recover from that. He's not doing, you know, anything strenuous right now, not even close to game action. So we'll see if he can get healthy enough to go back to Worcester, get ramped up, and then perhaps be an August or September call-up. But I've liked Trey Mancini. I was hoping we'd get him last year at the deadline, and I thought, well, maybe this winter, maybe they'll make a play. Hasn't happened, but he's an extremely likable guy. I mean, where do you put Trey Mancini in this lineup? He arrives tomorrow. Where do you put him?
Sixth.
So I was going to say, yeah. Where I was going to say sixth. Story could bump up at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm curious to see what would happen with Trevor Story if we slotted him into the two hole. He's had some experience batting there. When he was mm-hmm. in Colorado, he spent time originally as bottom, and then he moved to either first, second before slotting into third right before they moved Arenado to St. Louis, and then it was Trevor's team. So I think that Trevor can play and bat anywhere. I'd love to see him in the two spot. I mean, he's got wheels. So mm-hmm. you have the opportunity to, if he can get on base quickly, that'd be awesome. I would love that.
I just, Devers is flirting with probably a top two MVP slot. I don't know if he'll overtake Judge, but probably number two. I just don't see him getting taken out of the two hole.
I don't think anyone's going to be able. Judge has 27 bombs, I think, this year.
Yeah.
He just had a game-winning hit tonight. Like, Judge
just... I don't know if he's a finalist right now, Raffy. I mean, I don't know if he's going to
finish. I don't know either.
Ahead of Alvarez or Jose Ramirez.
You think he's...
Right.
Okay, so, all right, let's say top five.
I'd give him top five.
I would say that, easier. Sure. Yep.
He's leading the league in doubles, though, or at least last I checked, and the home runs are ticking upwards. So that's why I probably put him maybe a little bit higher than I should have. But I just don't see Devers coming out of the two hole. I think two, three, and four are just – I think that's untouchable as far as Cora goes. So maybe Mancini goes into the five hole. Doogie gets dropped down to seven. I don't know how that works, righty-lefty, though.
I don't like it. I think I've always said Devers should be the three hole hitter for this team anyway.
I think so too. I don't think they'll do it.
I don't understand the make your best hitter hit second thing.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you rather have two runners on base instead of one?
Exactly.
It seems like simple. It's like in basketball, it's like 3 points is worth more than two. That's why more guys are shooting threes than they were in the 90s. It right. seems like simple math, but I think the perfect Sox lineup, like in the middle, would be Story, Devers, JD, Bogey, and then Verdugo.
Or Mancini.
Or if we're putting Mancini in there, it would be Mancini slotting in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for some reason, though, the two hole is just where it's at. I mean, Judge, I think, bats second. Mike Trout bats second. So there are some. I did see the analytics a while ago on why that's the case, and I don't think I agreed with it. But I just think, if you're adding Trey Mancini to what we have now, that's explosive. I would love that. And I've always been a fan. I was kind of hoping he would go further in last year's home run derby. It didn't happen. Did Ohtani win that? No, he didn't. He got knocked out early.
Who no, it was that? Alonso. Alonso won back-to-back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he went nuts. He was just a machine that whole night. He was bobbing his head to it. He was just in this unbelievable rhythm. I remember now. All right. So here's mine. It's going to take some prospects to do this. But it's been mentioned in our war room before. Not recently, but I think over the winter. What about Brian Reynolds from the Pittsburgh Pirates? Yeah. See, he's got a lot of control left, which is why the trade package would be big. He's not a free agent until 2026, so you'd have him for the remaining few months of this season, and then 23, 24, 25. So you'd have him for 3 more years after this. He's 27 years old. He's in his prime. He's having a little bit of an off year, so I don't know if that helps as far as maybe you can save a prospect. You know, he's only hitting, 259 with a 333 on base, 11 home runs, only 22 ribbies, but let's face it, Pittsburgh, not a lot of guys are going to be on base in front of him. Last year, this is interesting, he had 8 triples last year. Unbelievable. And probably one of the best years of his career. Let's see. Yeah, definitely. He hit 302 with a 390 on base, 24 home runs, the most of his career by far, 90 ribbies. And 2020, but that was his worst season, but a lot of guys were bad that year. I just think he's a guy that you could plug out in right field. You know who your right fielder is going to be for the next 4 years. You got Verdugo for, I think, another 2 or 3. So he's out there. Who knows with Kike? Maybe they bring him back. Maybe they don't. He'll be a free agent. But outfield, there's just no depth in this organization as far as top-end outfielders. So that's my number one area that I want to target right now. And as far as Pittsburgh goes, he doesn't fit their rebuild. Maybe 3 years from now, maybe that might be their first wild card run. Maybe, if they're lucky. He just doesn't fit. There's no reason for Pittsburgh to want to keep him. Maybe his stock is a little bit lower this year. Maybe it'll be higher next year, and they'll try that. But he's a right-handed bat, which he's actually a switch hitter, but, I think mostly a righty. And that's what I would do. Charlie, you're dying.
I absolutely disagree. I think that Reynolds is just a huge part of the Pirates' rebuild. This kid's 26,
I agree.
27. There's no way they're going to move on from Reynolds, not when he's only getting $6.5 million this year, $6.5 million next year, 2 more years of arbitration eligibility before they could potentially flush his career down the toilet and make him lock up a huge deal. the Pirates have arguably the best shortstop prospect in baseball, and I'm so high on O'Neill Cruz.
He's so cool. Oh man, is he cool.
There's a video that I sent to the group. He is running around the bases, bases clearing double, and he's got the biggest grin on his face when he gets thrown out at third base. He doesn't even care. He is just what the Pirates need, and he's what the Pirates want. This is the future of the team. In less than 3 years, I will be shocked if the Pirates aren't winning a minimum of 90 games. They have a great I don't know how to say his first name. I think it's Ronsi. Is it Contreras?
Yeah, Contreras, yeah.
Insane. Mm-hmm. Will be a star in the making. They have so many players coming through the pipe. The Pirates were getting a lot of flack because they promoted one prospect. 2 days later, O'Neill Cruz got promoted because they're saying it was for development. No one bought that BS. It was clearly so they could prevent Super 2 status from occurring and giving the team one extra year of control as far as arbitration goes. I think Pittsburgh could be the real deal in the Central, challenging the Cardinals, challenging the Brewers. I think it very well could be a three-headed monster, maybe a two-headed monster, because St. Louis is getting kind of old. Wainwright's not going to get it done anymore. Flaherty, we don't know if he's going to stay healthy. I have no idea what's going to happen with Arenado and Goldie. Pittsburgh is super young. They cleared house, got rid of a lot of the older names. I'm super excited for Pittsburgh in the future. I think it could be Milwaukee, Pittsburgh in a couple years, 1-2 for a 4 or 5 year run. I would be shocked if the Pittsburgh Pirates won the division in 2 years. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, minimum wild card.
I just don't think they have the pitching right now.
That's not yet, but you can buy it. You can add that. You can add pitching 1 year deals here and there.
They're a small market team. I think they're at least 3 or 4 out, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Pirates did extend him and perhaps wouldn't want to move on from him. But I just don't. I just can't see them dropping a huge contract. I mean, he's going to be 9 figures, I would say. Reynolds probably.
He might.
Yeah.
He might. They have one of the best catching prospects too. Like once Henry Davis shows up too, like Pittsburgh is going to look disgusting. They have another guy in the farm. I got to find his name. I like Swaggerty. I love his name. There's another guy in their farm that's just a stud. And when he comes up in like 3 years, O'Neill's going to be seasoned. Contreras is going to be great. They have another guy. Is it Tsutsugo? How do you say his name?
Yeah, Yoshi Tsutsugo.
Tsutsugo could be a stud too. Like their team has so many different pieces that it's like the Tampa Bay Rays of the National League Central. Nobody knows some of these guys that are getting like peanuts and they're going to be stars. It was like when Starling Marte and Josh Bell were there. They were getting paid nothing, nothing. And they were great. And then we had some incidents happen. We all know what happened to Marte. Bell went to Washington, kind of reinvented himself as like a singles doubles guy who could still get some pop. They have the pieces. If Josh Bell never left, oh my God.
I didn't even mention Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Ke'Bryan Hayes too. I mean, he needs to stay healthy. That's his problem because, you know, last year he kind of floundered. The year before that was great. But if Ke'Bryan Hayes can get healthy too, that's another huge piece over at third base that can get work done. You know, this team is not ugly. I really like this team for the future.
You know, we'll see. I mean, Ben Cherington, you know, built the Red Sox farm system for most of the Epstein years and, you know, then, of course, became the general manager. Andrew likes to bag on apparently the 2013 draft was terrible. a lot of our top draftees just really fizzled. But I think if you dangle like a Blaze Jordan, that kid in Double A right now, I can't even pronounce his name yet. That Rafaela kid, launching him. But I mean, he's a guy that I think Ben Cherington would like. Unfortunately, we don't really have a lot of high end pitchers. I mean, we're definitely at Bellows in our untouchable category. I think Nick York, Tristan Casas are as well. But you know, maybe a Blaze Jordan. I don't know if Josh Winkowski would excite them at all, but I would just love to see a long-term guy in the Red Sox outfield. And it's a tough market for it right now, though. I mean, I've got the top, let's see, what is this? The top 25. And most of the guys in there are on teams that are competing. When you look down, you got to get Reynolds is number 11th, you know, right now in all of MLB outfielders. And then you've got Tommy Pham, who, you know, that would be a very polarizing choice. I mean, I would do it, I guess, if I had to, but he's certainly not one that I would prefer. And then you got to go all the way down to Andrew Benintendi. And I just don't think the Red Sox would go there.
I love Brian Reynolds. I think he's an absolute stud. I loved him at Vanderbilt. My dad's a big Giants fan, and when the Giants drafted him, he was so happy. Like, I think the guy's an absolute stud. You better be willing to trade Marcelo Meyer. That's what it's going to take.
No, I don't.
Yeah, nope, I'm not either. But that's the type of player it's going to take. Also, never ever mentioned Blaze Jordan playing for any team other than the Red Sox. I need to see that man in Red Sox. I picked this up in Cooperstown the other day. Is we got his minor league card here, his GCL Red Sox card.
Nice.
It's gonna take Marcelo Meyer. It's gonna take
you just got not... so excited about Blaze Jordan though. What if Sherrington?
I know.
I don't think Meyer's just untouchable, and I think any team would know that.
Yeah, but when that's the going price for a 27-year-old outfielder with great legs that plays great defense and can hit 300. I mean, that's a switch hitter. Like, he's everything every team could ever possibly want. So they're going to have a big asking price. It would be Meyer and then probably not Bayo. Who's the other one that's hurt right now? Or he just came back.
Mata?
Yeah, Brian Mata. Okay. It would probably take Meyer and Mata, and then, you know, maybe like a Winkowski, or you're going to be giving up three really solid pieces, one of them being a great piece. I'm not willing to do that.
I think they want Blaze Jordan. But we'll see.
I need to see.
It's going to be a haul. I personally don't think Meyer would be in a deal like that, but, it would be a painful trade. I think the last painful one we did was what, Kimbrel, and it didn't turn out to end up being that consequential, but at the time it was seemed like a big haul. The only other thing here is we're looking at bottom dwellers that are just going to be sellers, you know, conceivably. Let's pull up the standings right now. I mean, let's just go through the divisions. The only possible seller in the East is probably Baltimore, and you're talking about Mancini. I don't think the Mullins type players on that team are going to be moved, because I really don't think they're too far. I think they're closer than Pittsburgh is, really, especially if that Grayson Rodriguez guy, you know, comes up and makes his debut. But so you got one team in the AL East. You got two teams in the Central, Detroit and Kansas City. They'll be sellers. I don't know if Seattle's ready to think that they're sellers at 32 and 39. I mean, they probably should.
If anything, they'll buy. I think Seattle will buy it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That team's better than the way they've been playing.
And I think DePoto is under a little bit of pressure as well. So probably buyers. Oakland, you know, has a couple of guys they can move, you know, Murphy for one, and Montas if they really want to. So you've got five teams in the American League that are looking like sellers. Then you go to the National League, perhaps. Well, I don't think Miami, they're four games under 500, so not necessarily sellers. So the only seller in the National League East would be the Washington Nationals. They're 22 games under 500. Any of the central teams outside of Milwaukee and St. Louis are going to be sellers. You know, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Cincinnati, all sellers. And then, of course, in the West, you got Arizona and Colorado should be sellers, but they never are. And then they go sign Chris Bryant because that makes perfect sense. So not a lot of bottom dwellers. So what I'm getting at here is maybe you just find another team that's competing that has a pressing need that might be able to fill your need. I don't know who that would be. You know, probably a team that has an abundance of relievers. And then what would we give up?
I thought of this trade earlier. Okay. Call me crazy, but hear me out.
You're psycho.
Rafael Devers for the entire New York Stop. Yankees bullpen. Everybody in the Yankees bullpen.
Even Chapman?
Every single one. Even Chapman. Well, he's...
You can DFA him right when he gets here.
He still throws hard. It's okay. Like, I don't like the guy, but hey. But you get, like, 13 guys back, and you can just replace 90% of the Red Sox bullpen, throw some in the minors. We don't need Michael King up right now. He's a depth piece now. So just, hey, call me crazy, but... could work. Could work. Then he called Blaze Jordan.
He's going to Pittsburgh, though.
It's out of control.
He's going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, here we go. This is getting out of control.
So I don't – Bloom's going to have to work some magic, and it's tough to know which direction he's really thinking he needs to go, because he might be thinking Frank German's coming up, and he's going to be the high-leverage – reliever that we're thinking about acquiring from another team. And I don't think we're looking at starting pitchers. I think we can rule that out. I mean, we've got an abundance of that. So I don't know. It's tough to really know. What if the Red Sox don't make a splash at all? I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
I'm used to it.
Oh, I forgot to bring up one key point. It's just circumstantial. We did one time, not too long ago, trade for a stud outfielder from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Jason Bay?
Yeah, Bay.
Don't go that far back. That's so long ago. Also, Jason Bay was a one-hit wonder.
14 years ago.
Yeah, flash in the pan. Then he went to the Mets and just completely fell apart.
Yeah.
They bought out his contract because he was so bad. I was like, there's no way he's talking about Bay. There's no way.
Yeah, he was the outfielder. And Manny had the best season of his career that year, albeit roided up. But Bay came in. Yeah.
He fell apart. I don't even think he had the same number of home runs when he went there. I think he honestly had probably close to the same amount because they bought out his contract like 3 years after he left. He had one fantastic year in Boston and off Jason Bay went. When Bay left, what was the package? Because it wasn't – please tell me I'm pretty sure it was a trade.
No, he was a free agent when he went to the Mets.
Oh, God, I can't believe we let him go then. Because
yeah.
What was the deal? We got Bay. It was – he left after the Manny trade, right?
He was in the Manny trade. It was a three-way trade. So we got him for the last part of 2008 and then all of 2009. Let's just pull up his numbers real quick.
I've got the trade here.
I
just pulled it up because I couldn't remember it.
Three-team deal.
Right. We lost relievers. Oh, and Brandon Moss.
Yeah, and Brandon Moss.
Yeah, we lost
all we
Craig
got
Hansen.
Was Bay?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And that's the thing was with Moss, when Moss came over, he really didn't do anything until Oakland, and that was like 5 years later. He had like three crazy years, and then he just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Just off into the sunset. But he didn't do nearly, you know, he spent a decent amount of time in Boston and just it never really materialized. And Hansen, I don't really remember him ever being relevant.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he wasn't.
He was great in AAA, but he looked like a hot mess.
This is unbelievable to me. When Bay got here on July 31st, He was okay for the rest of 2008. Hit 9 dingers with the Sox, 37 ribbies, .293 batting average with a .370 on base. But he was just off the charts in 2009. 36 bombs. That's a lot for 2009. 36 bombs, 119 ribbies. He hit .267, but his OBP was almost 120 points higher at .384. And then they didn't sign him. And I heard one of the sticking points on why the Red Sox didn't bring him back was there were concerns about one of his knees and he didn't want to get surgery on it. Apparently they could have cleaned it up over the winter. He didn't want to do it. I don't know if that was the major sticking point, but it was something they wanted him to do. They didn't bring him back, but that's unbelievable after a year like that. For someone that was only going to get a 3-year deal.
It was his best year. It was like a four. Mm-hmm. He left. I couldn't remember if he left or if he got traded, but it was like a four. It was 4-year deal because he left before it was over. And it was 60. Like, I think it was like the Eovaldi contract. It was like 464 or something like that. It was pretty low. Mm-hmm. But in relation to what it was in 09, it was pretty damn good. Because Bay had his best statistical year as a member of the Red Sox. I don't think he had more than 36 home runs. I don't think he had more than 100. Was it, how many RBIs did he get?
100.
It was over 110.
119.
Yeah, that's dumb. That's dumb for Jason Bay. I don't think he came close to that ever again.
In 3 years with the Mets, he had 26 home runs and 124 RBIs.
Yeah, thank you.
So last,
like I said,
I
he did not cut it in New York, but. I mean, the Jason Bay going to New York, it's a double possibility of the stadium just wasn't good for him. It wasn't. I don't think it was a hitter's park. I think it was a pitcher's park, if I'm not mistaken, Old Shea Stadium. And I
believe that was City still. That was City? City at the time. And
okay.
It's still not a – still wasn't a hitter's park by any means. They moved the fences right in a few years ago. But at that time, it was very much a pitcher's park.
I mean, do you guys remember Adrian Beltre? Adrian Beltre went to Seattle, hit eight homers, 40 RBIs, as a member of the Mariners, left, went to Boston, found Jesus, and then signed a ridiculous deal with Texas, and he played in another 8 years. And that was one of the questions that I or actually an article that I had written was, you know, what if we never, you know, let Adrian Beltre go? Who would we have gotten?
Or like,
what
Martinez,
did we get?
Same year.
With what?
Victor Martinez as well was that same year, 2010. They were both on the Red Sox for that 1 year.
But do you think that Victor Martinez had the same impact that Beltre did? Because I don't.
Victor had a really good year, if I remember correctly.
He had a good career after that, but there just wouldn't have been any place to put him because you still had Poppy for quite a while. And
yeah.
Right. I think Beltre had, and I don't remember the numbers, but Beltre hit like .330, I think. He had 27 homers, 100 RBIs. Like, he did really, really well. I don't think Victor had 25 homers. I don't think he had 100 RBIs. I don't think he hit 300.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
Beltre hit .321 with 28 and 102.
Yep, because it was like an absolute finding of Jesus after the Seattle year because he slashed .844.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dad said, "Oh, we got this guy who can't really hit." I was like, "Oh no, he can hit." And if he's mashing, it's going to be bad for opposing. Just don't touch his head. He doesn't like when people touch his head. Like, I remember that. Like, people were telling, there were some funny stories because he was a banger when he played in LA, like absolute beast. And then he went to Seattle. Seattle wasn't a hitter's park. They just couldn't figure it out. 05 to. Oh, that was Safeco, right? Back in the.
Yeah, 05, it was still Safeco
then. Yeah, because Kingdom was. 97 or before. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They blew that one up. Mm-hmm. I don't even know now. Now it's not called Safeco anymore. It's something else.
No, I think it's T-Mobile Park.
Yeah.
T-Mobile Park. Is, yeah. But he had 1 year, just found Jesus and that was it. Jason Bay found Jesus in Boston, got paid and disappeared.
Victor, by the way, hit .302 with 20 home runs and 79 RBIs.
All right, I was right on 2 out of 3. I didn't think he had 300. I didn't think he came close. I thought he was like .270. So I was way wrong on that
He
one.
Was sharing time with Veritek too. That was hot.
Yeah, he was still catching at that point.
That was like the craziest catching tandem of all time. Like to have those two guys as your catchers. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the one consequence of having Beltre was he ran over Ellsbury like a Mack truck and ended his season in like the second or third week of the year. That could have cost us the playoffs.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Mowed him down. They were both going for a fly ball. And we missed the playoffs by a couple games. You have Ellsbury in there, I think you get in. But just
Darnell McDonald, everyday center fielder for the Red Sox that year.
And then you also had a lot of Jeremy Hermida, if you remember him.
Yeah, Jeremy Hermida. Yeah.
Everybody, see, that was the unbelievable thing about the Francona era, because Pedroia was out for like half the season with a foot injury. So was Veritek. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason we got Victor Martinez. Because Veritek had a foot injury. Beckett was having back injuries, missed a lot of time. Mm-hmm. I think we had one other pitcher.
That was one of the Buchholz years, though. That was one of the every other Clay Buchholz is good and then terrible.
Yeah.
That was one of the good years. He went, I've got it right here.
Yeah.
We went 17-7 with a 2.3 ERA.
And he probably pitched the most innings that year of any year of his career, too, I bet.
Yeah, I believe so. It was 173, second most. 2012, he had 189.
Oh, he had more, yeah. Bobby Valentine probably wouldn't let him go on the DL.
Yeah, probably not.
But, yeah, so that's just crazy. But it's funny, I brought up the Jason Bay trade, and we just went on this long freestyle here. So I just want to point out there is a precedence of brilliance, you know, with trading with Pittsburgh. I don't think the Astros hated Gerrit Cole either. That's a different animal, but
yeah, I'm not going to touch that one.
He's such a diva. Yeah, Kermit. All right. You know what? I probably had a couple other things we could go over, but we're way over our 30-minute target time, 50-minute show, so... we'll wrap it there, Mark. It was great to have you. I'm sure we'll have you again, and we'll got an interesting weekend starting tonight with Cleveland. So hopefully Francona's bag of tricks won't come back to hurt us. I'm still mad that he sent Mike Napoli to steal on David Price in game two of the ALDS. That's like the ultimate middle finger. David Price is a lefty. He's looking right out for his base, and Napoli takes off. That's because you know Francona. I think I said this on the last show, but you know Francona's like has a pep talk with the boys before we go to play Boston. And be like, guys, you know who we're playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what this organization did to me and said about me, okay? Let's at least once or twice pull their pants to the ground here. And anyway, I'm supposed to be wrapping it up. So everyone, we will be back on Sunday night to talk about what did happen against Cleveland. Everyone, have a great weekend. Take care.
Looking to get the most out of your money, time, and even better, your points and miles? I'm Chris Hutchins. I'm a lifelong optimizer, and I've sold two companies, racked up millions of points, and traveled the world to over 60 countries almost always for free. And I host All the Hacks, an award-winning podcast trusted by more than a million listeners that turns big ideas into quick tactical moves you can start using today to upgrade your life, money, and travel. Recent episodes have covered how to book business class seats for economy prices, how to make an easy $3,000 a month from online deals, and tiny habits that you can use to buy back hours of your time each week. There's no fluff in the show. It's just proven playbooks to travel better, spend smarter, and design a life you're excited about. So search All the Hacks, that's All the Hacks, in your podcast app, hit follow, and start upgrading your life today.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.